At MomoCon 2019, we had the chance to talk to Carolina Ravassa here on the AwesomeCast.
In acting?
I was a hyperactive child at the age of three, and I think my parents, as artistic beings, realized their three daughters were artistic as well, so we were always very involved in all sorts of fun, creative things. And I guess I turned five, and I had been doing chorus stuff and singing and dancing on my own, and so when they were auditioning for a school musical, my mom's like, are you interested in this? And I'm like, I think so, yeah. So I did my first play at 5 years old at school, nothing professional, and I loved it. And so I just continued doing it through school. And then when it came time to audition for college or apply to colleges, I realized, oh, I love acting. That's what I want to do. So it's just something that I realized when I was really young and enjoyed it. So how was it?
We were just talking about Overwatch. Do you when you do the, any of the characters that you do, how do you do that? How do you get the character? Do you ever dress like the costume?
No. We just do voice sessions, so we go in and record in a booth with a microphone. So, no, I did not dress as her because also I didn't know what she looked like when I first started. Well, they showed me an image, but it's all secretive, so it's not like I am prepared to dress like her for this. I think that because I had prepared stuff for the audition with the accent that Sombra has and with understanding her attitude and sass and sarcasm, I think it just, that came innately to me because I can be sarcastic. So for me, she's very close to my heart. So it was easier to just do that voice, I guess. For other ones, it just depends. But I think that maybe I'll wear shoes that help me get into the character. I know Widowmaker used to wear heels in her recording session because, you know, Widow is so sexy. So I think that, you know, combat boots and stuff like that sometimes helps. I think that I just go for every different character differently.
I'm guessing working on the Somber character, that was all solo work. You wouldn't ensemble.
Most of all the characters for Overwatch we record separately. We do a lot of commands and stuff that is in-game and battle cries. So we do a lot of that alone. I know there were some short films that they've done for Overwatch. They get people in the booth together, like Ash and McCree. But when I recorded my short, I recorded by myself. So it's a lonely process. That's why I think we have such a good time when we hang out with the voice actors, because we don't get to hang out while we record, so.
Yeah. So you're talking about these events as hanging out, right?
Like, I mean, if we can in LA, or if I'm in New York, I'll see the girls that are there, but yes, I think conventions is a really good place to meet up for lunch and dinner when we're not signing, because it's kind of our downtime. When we're in LA, we're usually auditioning for other things or recording, so it's busier than when we're in a different city that's not our home, and then we get to kind of relax a little bit. Yeah.
Forgive me.
Overwatch has kind of grown a lot, not only just because it has such a diverse cast of playable characters that people can play like similar to themselves. So essentially, what is it like working with such a diverse cast? Because I know even voice actors, so wide range of people from all different areas.
I think that that's part of the beauty of Overwatch. A lot of the voice actors are very close to their characters in ethnicity or nationality or race. And so I think that because we feel these characters represent such a variety of people in the world, we feel very proud to be a part of this game. And I think that as actors who are very interested in diversity and the importance of it in the media, we also have connected and share this common goal. And they're also just lovely human beings that I love to hang out with. And because they come from the backgrounds that their characters come from, I think that we're constantly learning from their cultures. And that's really special, too. So I think that we've just been very lucky to be a part of this really cool game and that we get to travel to cons together for it. So I get to know all these voice actors more and more every con because it's just more time we spend together. It feels like summer camp. So it's been a really wonderful ride to be able to also not just meet everybody who plays the game and they love it so much, but the people we work with, for sure.
Do you feel like you add a little bit of your personality to the characters that you play?
Absolutely. I can't completely separate from Carolina because everything's coming from me. Sombra, particularly, is very close to my voice range, which is very low, and also just kind of how she responds to a lot of things. So I think there's a lot of me in Sombra for sure. I think there's always a little bit of me in every character, but depending on the character, you just kind of filter out some stuff or add a few other things.
I want to ask you about the business of animation. Have you found that there is more financial dollars based on your character and what you're doing, or do you think it's just more of a thing?
Help me out.
So I guess what I'm trying to understand is, it's fascinating that this has become such a, I mean, especially voice acting, mm-hmm. in a video game, yeah. Or not a video game.
This is a video game.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I'm so old, I say video, and I think I'm wrong.
No worries. Video game versus video, but yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So are you surprised by your celebrity?
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I think that in the past, people who worked on World of Warcraft and StarCraft and Diablo and all the other video games, they are super talented people. But I do think that social media has made voice acting or voice actors accessible to the people who play the games. So all of a sudden, I think people are taking an interest in who voices these characters. So they're discovering who voiced somebody in Diablo 1 because now there's a social media presence. So it's like you can access these people by tweeting at them or finding them on IMDb Pro, which wasn't a widely used tool before. So I do think that now we're in an age of, well, first of all, video games have expanded. They've become more mainstream. We have 30 million players all over the world, thanks to the internet. We are diverse, so people in the Middle East and Australia are playing the same game you guys are playing here. So I think that because it's become a world phenomenon, that's why it's just blown up. This is my personal take on it. I haven't, you know, done studies on gaming or anything, and I'm very new to the gaming industry, but we all are definitely like, how the heck did this happen? We didn't expect any of this. So it's been magical and weird and cool and all at the same time, you know? But I do think that now there are more gaming companies. Is it Apple or Google? One of them is going to start a gaming company soon.
It's Google.
Thank you. You know, like, that's crazy because they realize that it is such a big industry, bigger than sometimes a lot of movies on opening weekend. So, you know, the industry is changing really quickly, very interestingly.
So the Overwatch League, obviously very successful, really great. Are you following the league? Do you have a favorite team?
We're not allowed to have favorites. We've gone to the Burbank Arena twice. I have. And, it's been incredible to just be there and witness everyone sitting in the, you know, in the stands and like going crazy over the game. It's such a fast game and the screen, there's so much going on that I can't follow it. I say it's for the young people. So I love it, but I don't follow it avidly because I really don't understand how deep and fast it goes. But I'm really excited that it exists and that it's a thing. And these players are, I mean, they're incredible. So again, the fact that there is a pro Overwatch League to me is just a crazy phenomenon.
So,
it's fabulous.
I mean, do you play?
I played twice. And no. Well, I played on somebody's account. So I don't even have a screen name for that. I was terrible. I did it for fun. I played Sombra to try it out and have some laughs. I tanked horribly, no pun intended. I think a tank is easier to play than Sombra. So I don't know. I'll play again, but it's not something that I'll take up on my spare time because it's too stressful for me. I need to relax and not worry about being killed.
What do you think it means for women?
I think the gaming industry for women has changed in the last 5 years incredibly. Overwatch, I will get to you soon, I promise. Overwatch has a lot of fabulous female characters that aren't just cute and dumb and blonde, you know? And they're not just sexualized. They are really strong, interesting, smart, cunning females. And I think I really love when I meet female gamers who have gotten into the game because of Overwatch. And likewise, men who play the female characters because they say, oh, you know, D.Va's so much more badass than some of the guy characters. So I do think that because there are female characters that women like to play, now there are more female gamers, and I think that it's just growing in general, and it's a really positive thing.
What's it like when you do get the chance to like maybe catch an Overwatch League game, seeing how prevalent Sombra is in the game? How cool is that to see like these pro players playing someone who you got the voice?
It's really magical. It's funny. Sombra wasn't being played last season as much, now more so, and I was randomly in Colorado with some girlfriends, and they were trying to understand this Overwatch thing because they don't play, and they turned on the TV, and it was on. And they're like, wait, isn't this your thing? And I'm like, yes, it is. And then, oh my God, Sombra was on screen, and I was like, ah! So I was like, that's me. Okay, I just did my EMP. That's my electromagnetic pulse. Okay, now I just hacked somebody. But I was still having a really tough time following it because it was so fast. So to me, it's just this fascinating thing. But I also know that a lot of the pro gamers are Korean. So they probably play in Korean and not in English, so they're not even listening to me, which is totally fine. It's just this, I'm still just flabbergasted by it all. To me, I'm in awe of this new thing. I think it's great, and I'm humbled that they're playing my character, you know?
I have a question.
Sure.
Hi, so I remember you from the Colgate commercial.
From the what commercial?
The Colgate commercial.
Actually, it's Crest, but that's okay.
Okay, sorry about that. So how in other areas have you been able to transition in your life other than voice acting and commercials?
Well, it's funny. I didn't start voice acting. I just consider myself an actor who does a lot of things. So I did do a lot of voiceover work in New York for Spanish products because I speak Spanish. So, you know, I've done a lot of radio spots that you've probably never heard on Spanish radio for different commercials, and one of those was Crest. I did two on-camera commercials for that. So it's like I started doing that and then got more into video games and animation. And to me, this is way more fun, obviously, than selling a product. So I like to think it's this big tree of acting, and there's many branches, and I like to do many of them. So I love pursuing drama and TV. I love doing sketch comedy. I do a YouTube channel show that's called Hispanglo-Saxon, where I play sketch comedy characters. I do voice acting. Sure, I'll do commercials if you want me to, you know. I think that as actors, we just like doing a lot of things. So I'd love to do more TV, films, you know. So to me, it's just a big kind of, I like to cross the gamut. Yeah.
Have you been approached by any businesses to promote their products?
Sure. I don't know how that's interesting or relevant right now. I guess, yeah.
Based on the Sombra here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really promote anything as Sombra because Sombra belongs to Blizzard. But because I have a following on Instagram, some products are like, hey, could you plug us and we'll send you some, you know, facial products or some yoga tights because I do a lot of yoga. So stuff like that. I know that people have brand deals with things, but I haven't really delved into that yet.
What are you passionate about outside of performing?
I'm stuck in the 90s, so I love rollerblading.
Fantastic.
Yes, I do that in LA all the time. I love trying different kinds of crazy food. So take me to an Ethiopian restaurant. I love Arab food. I love Mexican. I love sushi. So I will try anything once if it's weird and cool. And if I like it, obviously I'll eat it again. And because we're so busy traveling and working, I really just, I've been enjoying hanging out with friends more, you know, having dinner, a glass of wine, getting to be with my close people because we're on the road so much. So when I have downtime with my sisters or good friends, I enjoy that. Good question. Thank you.
How did you get into rollerblading?
Dude, how did I get into rollerblading? I started in the fourth grade. When I was young, I think one of my parents' friends just had some extra rollerblades and they were my size. And they're like, oh, does Carolina want to try? I was like, sure. But I think I was scared, but I just loved it. And then it became this thing that I do. And I can rollerblade for 28 miles because it just makes me happy. Yeah, because it's kind of like gliding, but it's not jogging because I hate running. So it's like this happy balance of you're on, like I love biking too. I'll ride my bike a lot of places, but I just like exercise. It makes me happy. Random question. Thank you. But I really do love rollerblading, so I feel like I should cosplay Lucio at some point on some rollerblades.
Nice.
What's your opinion on fan communities? I mean, do you think that companies should be promoting their fan communities and giving access to them and things like that?
Yeah, if they're a positive fandom, absolutely. I mean, I think that Blizzard does a good job of keeping up with cool cosplayers and retweeting them or, you know, doing fun stuff for the fans. I think that the only reason we exist is because the fans like it. If Overwatch wasn't played or liked, then it would tank, you know? So I think that, of course, we love fandoms, and I want them to continue. I think I'm saddened by the cyberbullying or the hate that can happen sometimes in-game. I wish people would take the game seriously, but not as seriously, to start cursing everybody out while they're playing. I really think it should just be a fun game that you're enjoying. And if you are pro, then yeah, get into your level of pro, but you don't need to be rude about it. But yeah, of course. I mean, if the company can promote a fandom, absolutely. But I don't know enough about how that works. And, like, there's such big companies, and I'm sure they have a lot on their plate. So I really don't know what it entails to, you know, foster a fandom. But as voice actors, we absolutely love all the fan art and meeting you guys and being able to share with the community online, for sure.
At what point did you realize it was a big deal?
I think I was invited to BlizzCon because that's where they were unveiling my character about 8 months after the game had come out. And I had no idea what I was getting into, and then my character appeared on the screen as a reveal for the short film I had recorded, and I heard the fans going crazy, and I was like, and there was about 30,000 people there, so that was pretty crazy and exciting and a little scary, because I'm like, what is happening? So, but I still didn't understand how big it was, and then I started getting invited to conventions, and then you just start realizing, oh, we have 35 million players all over the world. That is a lot of people. So it's still, I'm still amazed by it. But I think it hit me at BlizzCon. Oh, that's what this is, you know? I don't think anybody in Overwatch really realized until a couple months after that BlizzCon, because we hadn't been introduced to each other. We didn't realize the community and family we were being brought into. And then we saw the reaction after that BlizzCon in November. So the rest is history.
Let's get a question from the back row.
If you were given the opportunity to give advice to an individual that was aspiring to be a voice actor, what would that advice be?
I think that the most important thing is to, first of all, definitely love it. I encourage people to take acting classes, even if they're not voice related, like voice specific classes. We use our voice as an instrument all day, every day. If you mess up your voice in one recording session, you can't continue to work. So understand that it's an instrument that you need to take care of and use properly. So take classes, you know, learn how to do networking in your local community and find local auditions. Those people will help you get work, hopefully. There's a lot of online ways to find auditions. So we are in this new world of technology, and you can get jobs that way. And we always recommend a I am not speaking English. We recommend a website called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com. Literally, as simple as that, because it gives you tips on how to break into the industry. I've always lived in New York or LA, so I don't know what it's like in Atlanta, but you know, find out how actors get it going here, and that's how you, you know, start building your own community or create your own work. Absolutely.
What's something that's important to you that you would like to share with more people?
Be kind. I think because we live in a digital age, people hide behind their screens a lot. And if you follow me, I hope it's because you like Sombra or what I do. So if you have a crappy comment on my personal Instagram, why are you on there? And I feel like we are constantly putting out positive stuff for the community. I would love to receive that back. Not that I've received a lot of hate. I'm just giving an example of, like, people hating and hiding behind their screen name because it's anonymous. And I think that we just need to practice kindness in the world with anybody we can, because it's a dark world out there, you know? I'd love to share more love.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Last question.
So how have you been able to be a hero, an anti-hero, and a villain in your own life?
I think having a sense of humor helps to be an anti-hero, because you don't take it so seriously. I don't think I'm a villain. I'd like to think I'm not. You know what? I think that I'm not a hero, thank you. Sombra is, all of those that you mentioned. But I think that us going to conventions and getting to meet people who've been moved by the game and listening to their stories and be able to give a meaningful hug and share our love with them and receive it, I think it's a really important interaction, and I take it very seriously, and I appreciate the love we receive and the fan art I get. I don't take any of that for granted, so I do think it's just a lovely way to share our love for something that we connect on. So, yeah.
Well, thank you very
thank
much.
You.
We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to yet another production of The Awesome Cast, your podcast for everything awesome. You can find us online at awesomecast.com, OSMCAST.com, or, you know, wherever you find your podcast, just search for Awesome Cast. You can also find us on the social medias, AwesomeCast at Twitter or on Facebook. Of course, you can also find our wonderful interview guru, the greatest living interviewer, John Robbins, at J5 is Live. Or perhaps you'd like to follow our amazing editor, Anna, at AngelDarkfire. Or just me, at It's Basil Time on Twitter. Our theme song is produced by DJ Inhibito, and you can find him online at djinhibito.com. And once again, thanks for listening to the Awesome Cast. We appreciate you.